Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the final edition of the semester of Sports from the Six. Want to start out by thanking everyone for all that you did for us this semester and with these eight beautiful shows. We're happy that we were able to get your fellowship. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm throwing it out there. Anyways,
it works.
Alongside my co-host, as always, Dwayne Turner, Flip Livingstone, Stacy in the background. Guys, it's a great time right now to be a sports fan.
It's exciting stuff going on, guys.
Yeah, I'm excited for everything that's going on.
Speaking of everything that's going on, we have a jam-packed show for you this afternoon, evening, morning, whenever you're going to listen to this. It is a podcast, of course. Let's go right in with the NHL playoffs. Guys, we're only 2 days in, and we've already seen some exceptional hockey. What are your thoughts so far on round one of the playoffs?
You know what? There's a lot of enticing matchups, a lot of matchups that at this point could go either way. Obviously, we're only one game into a bunch of them. I love this time of year for so many reasons for sports. We got the NHL playoffs kicked off, NBA playoffs on our doorstep, Major League Baseball in full swing, and watching puck at this time of year is just a treat for hockey fans. And I look at some of these matchups, St. Louis, Minnesota, Vancouver, Calgary, Montreal, Ottawa. These are awesome for fans, and I'm excited to see how they unfold because, honestly, at this point, a lot of them are coin flips. Obviously, you guys know I'm a little bit biased. I'm a Habs fan for the playoffs. Yeah, you heard that here first, everybody. I'm a Habs fan.
Flip's actually thrown out his Leafs jersey.
I wouldn't go that far. I can't afford to burn jerseys. But at this point, I'd also like to shout out a friend of mine, Tanner T. Vandenbroek. He's a jersey burner, but a Sens fan. And I'll say go, Habs, go. But anyway.
I'll just stick to throwing some hamburgers on the ice.
Wow. I'm
not really a Sens fan, but I do like hamburgers. And just sometimes you need to give the Senators a little bit of luck here. They're in over their heads. They've been playing well, but
they're in over their heads. Carey Price is, in my opinion, the best goalie in the NHL, and I'm always going to lean to take that route in the playoffs. Goalies are always important, but I feel extra important in the playoffs. And I think the Habs have what it takes in the East. In the West, personally, you know, my pick was Nashville coming in.
How you feel about that double overtime loss there?
It's okay. The fact that they're even being that close with Chicago, I'll take it at this point. But I don't really like their chances, personally. I don't know what you guys think in terms of the predictions we made earlier.
Yeah, I've changed everything.
Yeah, I don't know how your predictions did, boys. How are the LA Kings doing? I thought you guys both took them.
Who likes the LA Kings?
Maybe we can go back and we'll get a clip
edited.
Who
really picked the LA Kings? Did those guys even make the playoffs? I'm not really sure. I think I'm gonna change over here. I my bracket, those cool, you saw everyone Instagramming and Facebooking the NHL bracket challenge.
That's right.
I have the Rangers defeating the Blackhawks in the finals, and I'm very confident with that matchup.
Wow.
Yet saying that, seeing that there's five Canadian teams in the playoffs, I'm not one of those that says, oh, a Canadian team has to win, but it's awesome for the sport here. Not that the sport needs anything more to make it grow here, but
yeah,
it's awesome to see teams like Winnipeg get their first taste of the playoffs. A team like Ottawa with what happened to Brian Murray and their assistant coach passing on.
Yeah.
Having those kind of special mementos for their fan base and just for a nation that's at times been mourning. Those are special things to see.
There's exciting storylines for sure, and those are things that endear the fans to the game. But more so, to touch on what you just said, personally, the Rangers are going to be hard to beat for sure. That team is stacked on the back end. We talked about their moves at the deadline, and they will be a tough team to beat. I could see Montreal, New York in the East Final, and then Ducks, Chicago in the West Final at this point. Those teams are looking pretty deep. Obviously, anything can happen, and I'm sure there will be a few other teams in there. But it's exciting. It's an exciting time for all sports fans, hockey especially, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Everyone's written off Pittsburgh?
I'm writing off Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're too banged up. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin can do, but they're going to really have to carry that team.
Marc-Andre Fleury's had a great season. He's bounced back. He's really carried the team this year. The team in front of him has struggled. They've had a lot of injuries. They tried to bring in some guys who have underperformed a bit. Perron has not perform the way that they wanted him to. Obviously, guys like Winnick, you can't expect to do all kinds of things. But the
Kunitz hasn't had the season.
They haven't really panned out. You have the two of the top five forwards in the world, and you're going to bow out in the first round? There's going to have to be some big changes in Pittsburgh if they bow out the first round.
And they changed the management staff last year. I mean, they changed it. So
it's going to have to be player personnel.
Yeah, and you really wonder, how much longer does that core have? Really, you see a team like Chicago just recycle, and just continue to amaze in the Western Conference.
The clock is ticking on Pittsburgh.
The clock is definitely ticking on
Pittsburgh.
Let me
ask you guys something, because, I mean, you bring up the fact that the Chicago is just recycling players and still having the success they're having. Vermette was a healthy scratch for them. I mean,
yeah.
What does that say to how talented that roster is?
Great point, and it bodes well to the talent of the whole team and that whole organization. Joel Quenneville, I think, is one of the more underrated coaches in the league. Yeah, he's been awarded in the past for Coach of the Year. I believe he's one of Jack Adams. But that being said, I think it's upper management as well as just a winning culture in Chicago. That team's been solid for a long time now, and you have two guys like Taze and Kane, where in kind of retrospect to Crosby and Malkin, you know, a duo who is performing and producing. That being said, Crosby does have a cup, was back at a Stanley Cup after that, but since then has not really performed in the playoffs, and the clock is ticking, like we said, for sure in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and as we know, he has that golden goal, but of course, when you're talking about career-wise, that one cup is all he's got. When a player of his magnitude and his talent, it's really surprising, for me at least, at this stage of his career. But you look at the Blackhawks, and their team that they do recycle, but one thing that you've noticed is their core has stayed the same.
Yep.
Their core has stayed intact, and around it they've built guys, young guys. I'll kind of sprinkle those guys in, the Brandon Saads. They brought back a Chris Versteeg, guys that fit their system.
Yeah.
And they attracted a couple of college free agents this year because those guys know that they can get into a winning lineup, a good situation for them.
Yeah.
So they're doing it the right way. They're a team that's a bit unconventional in their methods, but they understand the salary cap, and that's the thing that's really keeping them afloat in the Western Conference.
Definitely, yep, I agree.
Guys, I guess last thing before we move on, you look at all of these matchups, and I know we've written some teams off. We think they don't have the firepower, but personally, it really wouldn't surprise me if any two of these teams make the finals, honestly speaking.
Okay.
No, it's a fair point. You know, obviously writing off teams in the playoffs one game in is kind of like child's play, but it's just when I look at teams, I talked about goaltending, Winnipeg, Andre Pavlich, I don't see it there. Some teams, you know, Vancouver, I don't know what's going on in net there. You've got Ryan Miller, in my opinion, a top five in the world goalie, and you're playing Eddie Lack.
Eddie may lack some playoff experience.
So I don't know what's going on there. Minnesota, you know, do I believe in their goaltending? No, I would rate that team off too. But hey, you know, they just dominated the best home team in the league 4-2 in the first game. So
doobie doobie doo.
There you go. I guess I just want to mention one last thing before we move on.
I think that's okay, Dwayne.
How about the Calgary Flames? Another third period comeback to defeat the Vancouver Canucks. So there you go. I mean, you brought it up, Flip. These matches, they're coin flips. I mean, who knows who's going to win at what time, and home ice really doesn't seem to matter.
For the record, as someone who picked them to miss the playoffs, thanks, LA Kings. Big shout-out for getting in there. I think they're going to win that series. I think right now with Vancouver's goaltending issues, yeah. I like the youthful exuberance, and they talk about how inexperience can be a factor, but it can also be they have nothing to lose, right? They weren't expected to make the playoffs by anyone in the league. Money.
First of all, I want to know what youthful exuberance means later. We'll Google that.
Oh, we've got plenty of it.
Second of all, if we do go back to the episodes of Sports from the Six, you will hear on record myself saying that I do believe the three Canadian teams will make the playoffs.
Flip,
I'm just looking
Nashville
at, I'm just
the
looking at this
Cup?
In the West right now, and there are those three teams in the playoffs. So I just, you know, since we're going back. You know,
so when Nashville's out three games later, we'll definitely bring up the Flip Livingstone.
Now I'm upset. Now I'm upset. I think we should move on.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, so moving on. the MLB season has finally got underway. We previewed it a couple of times here on Sports from the Six. The Jays right now in a bit of a funk. They're 5-5, but a lot of good storylines around baseball. We're seeing the Boston offense really come alive. The Detroit Tigers, how about them? Mm-hmm. Standing here at 8-1.
Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, Kansas City Royals have been spectacular. Again. Just riding off their World Series, not championship, obviously, but getting to the championship last year.
Pretty much,
so, yeah. I mean, they're taking another step forward. The New York Mets and their young talent have looked good early as well. Colorado's hitting. Everything's sort of seems to be going on. Obviously, you can't put too much stock into just a weekend.
Right.
But what are your early thoughts, guys? It's exciting, I'm sure, to have baseball back as a fan.
Well, for me, I guess the number one thing, we were fortunate enough to have Jamie Campbell in not too long ago, and he said that the Washington Nationals were the class of the NL and pretty much the whole league, and they're not off to the best start right now. I mean, they're just having errors in the infield right now. They're just playing sloppy baseball. So we'll see what happens to see if, you know, they improve on – I mean, they're simple mistakes, right? I mean, this is such a talented team, and like you said, it's early, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and speaking of when we had Jamie Campbell on, to go back a couple shows again, I'm going to stop doing that, but we'll do it one more time. The first place, Chicago Cubs, a team that intrigued me when I looked at all that young talent, and they're making a huge deal out of this Bryant kid, and it looks like he can just knock the ball. Like
he's up, and he's on my fantasy team. Thank you very much. We have a little bit of a centennial fantasy pool going on here, and let's just say that with Chris Bryant up, I fully expect him.
Oh, here we go.
I don't expect him, but I hope he goes full Mike Trout so I can win this league. Right now I'm trailing.
You got the pump out for the tires there, or how's that going?
sometimes.
Anyway, like I was saying, the talent on the Cubs and teams like you had mentioned, there's a lot of exciting things going on in baseball for sure. And definitely some teams that you're not used to seeing at the bottom of their division, like the New York Yankees sitting in dead last right now. 10 games in, mind you, very, very early in a baseball season. A lot can happen, but there's, you know, things to be excited about if you're a baseball fan from non-traditional markets like Colorado, who are hitting the cover off the ball right now with guys like Tulowitzki and Arenado. These young players are very exciting to watch.
I own Nolan Arenado, just throwing that one out there too, guys.
This guy is just, must be nice to have a good fantasy team.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the feeling right now either. So.
And then you look at a player like Miguel Cabrera, who is just a beast, and Detroit off to a great start. And you got to like their chances in a division like the American League Central. They'll be there at the end of the year for sure, especially if he keeps hitting like that, because he's not even really hitting for power right now. His power numbers are there. There's some RBIs. I'm not sure. I don't have his numbers up in front of me, but I think he's only got one or two jacks, if that, so far. But he's hitting like 390 or something ridiculous, and he's having a great start to the season, which can be expected from a player that we've seen at the top of the league repeatedly.
And this is a team that people forget. They traded away Rick Porcello. They lost Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So for them to still be 8-1, still be the class of that division, and really they have Anthony Gose really contributing for that team. So they're finding surprises all over. Hey, will it hold up? Kansas City is still a very good team. Yep. In my eyes, it could go either way in that division. But
it's intriguing that you mentioned Anthony Gose because, you know, we've seen Devin Travis perform so well for the Jays. And that trade seems to be working out for both sides.
10 games in.
We were at the game. The three of us were live at the game last night. And Travis impressed again. Yeah, in a losing cause last night. But he's impressing me, contributing nightly. And seems to be playing solid second base as well, which is probably their primary focus with him. And the bat is just a bonus. I don't know what you guys think about that.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, he's been getting nicked up too.
Yeah.
And staying in the game. He's a tough guy. So it's great to see. And Flip, you bring up hitting, and let's not forget Adrian Gonzalez, who had a
good
unbelievable
point.
Week last week. 5 home runs. I'm glad I wasn't facing him in fantasy last week since we're talking about fantasy.
He had more home runs than some teams.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, right now, he's cooled off a bit, but let's keep in mind, he's hitting .528 right now.
Right.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, he's already making his case 10 games in again for an early MVP votes, but
that's early, man. That's
very early.
Ooh, that's early, but I mean, yeah, like he's a potent bat in one of the most potent lineups. I mean, what do they spend $500 billion on players every single year? So
and they'll
so
keep
that,
doing it.
Yeah, that's a team that's going to be there. They have no conscience in the world for money. If, for me, on that team, it's going to be interesting to see if Yasiel Puig takes the next step.
Yeah.
That's a big part of their development and actually winning a World Series championship. Of course, everyone knows. Yes, they have Gonzalez. Yes, they have Kershaw, but it's those secondary guys and guys like Jock Peterson, are those guys going to elevate the Dodgers that one step further that they can compete with the other powerhouses in the NL West and not just be a regular season team that wins their division.
Exactly. I think there's a more of a underlying factor with everything that we're talking about, and I really think there's a changing of the guard in the MLB with young players. Yeah, we've talked about Adrian Gonzalez and Miguel Cabrera, who are a little bit older, but Puig and these guys that we've mentioned, and I look at a team like the New York Mets with these stud pitchers like Matt Harvey and Jacob deGrom. These guys are nasty on the mound, and I'm just happy that baseball seems to be bouncing back and thriving. I know numbers are up in terms of attendance and viewership and everything like that, so it's exciting as a baseball fan to see, I think, what is the changing of the guard. I don't know if that's a bold statement, but there's a lot of young talent and a lot to be excited for, especially in a city like Toronto, so it's exciting to see.
Yeah, and people still forget that a guy like Mike Trout is still only 23 years old, and Giancarlo Stanton is only 25 years old. So, I mean, there is still a lot of young talent, and now we're seeing that next wave come. We've seen the Blue Jays gone young. We've seen the Cubs go young. Yep. Oakland has continued to go young consistently. So we're seeing these teams go ahead and just really go young, and that's what's going to grow baseball ultimately. We know it's been declining in terms of interest as well at the lower levels for youth. Right. So, I mean, it's a good thing to have that happen for baseball, and it's a good thing to see the competitive parity that's been going on around the league.
No question.
Speaking of good things to see, we got some interesting stuff coming up this weekend, boys.
You
excited for some NBA playoffs or what?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, obviously, it starts off with the Toronto Raptors taking on the...
the Paul Pierces.
The Washington Wizards.
He's getting that much hype.
I'm telling you, man. Like,
I hate Paul Pierce. What is it with this guy? I want to smack that guy in his face. What about you guys?
I don't have enough money in my pockets either, like Masai, to say what I want to say to Paul Pierce. But
don't
I will
get
say
me
this.
Wrong. You guys probably a Hall of Famer, like clutch performer. I can't knock his on court performances. You know, he's clutch. But man, maybe that's why I hate him so much. But I want to hit that guy in his head. You heard it here first, Paul Pierce. Okay. I want a piece.
Hey,
what's his Twitter handle? I want a piece.
Are we going Raptors versus dinosaurs?
If someone knows Paul Pierce somehow, I'm calling him out. Let's get this going.
Hey, the thoughts expressed by Flip are not reflected by the rest of us.
I'm upset. I'm tired and I'm upset. Someone get me a water.
Flip's just mad he still threw away his Leafs jersey. There's nothing to it.
So, okay, I guess since we were on Paul Pierce, I guess we should start off with the comments he made. He was being interviewed by Jackie McMullen on ESPN Boston. And I guess when they brought up the fact that they could possibly face the Raptors, Paul Pierce said, "We haven't done particularly well against Toronto, but I don't feel that they have that it that makes you worried." So, I guess, do you guys want to get into what DeRozan said after?
Well, let's just say DeRozan used an expletive. Yeah. Wasn't very happy with Paul Pierce's comments. And he actually hoped that they would see the Wizards. So they get their chance now. They have a chance to face Washington. Of course, they won the season series 3-0 against the Wizards. The first game, they absolutely I think it was the Raptors' best game of the season. They obliterated the Wizards. Mm-hmm. The next two games were kind of close. The Raptors blew a big lead in D.C. They won in overtime off the back of Mr. Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Williams.
Mm.
And the third game, I want to say the Wizards were up midway into the third quarter. Raptors came back and won by 2 points. So the Raptors definitely have the confidence against that Wizards team. Again, we've talked about it off air a lot of times. Both teams have a few coaching issues, really, when you look at them. No one's really sold on Dwayne Casey's rotation. Case in point, end of the Charlotte game, and you see Lowry subbed off for DeRozan with a couple minutes left.
Yeah, like what sense?
Don't really know where we're going there. Randy Whitman.
Oh boy, I'm telling you.
Those rotations, man. I don't even know where to start with those rotations. But there's been a lot of complaining about both of those coaching staff. So it's going to come down to the talent and the Wizards last year they beat the Bulls in the first round in 5 games. So the talent is there. They've gotten better on a talent level. How do they mesh, and can they beat Toronto? I think we're in the makings of a really good series.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You set that up very nicely, AK. I think it's going to be a 7-game series. I think we're in for a treat in terms of the number of games we'll be able to watch for Raptors and Wizards fans. With that being said, you talk about confidence, which is something that worries me with this young Raptors team. I think that there's a chance that that confidence might actually work against them in a way. I know that, you know, we're just talking, but this team with confidence, I think, heading into the playoffs, that might not necessarily be what they need. They need to be a little bit more hungry. Like you said, coach has been under scrutiny lately for some moves that he's made. I think it's going to be a great series, but there's that concerns me, the overconfidence factor, because it's young and there's a 3-0 record during this season. But what also concerns me, and we quickly talked about it before the show, is the size. Gortat and Nene can, and if they do play to what they can be like, can cause some havoc for Amir Johnson and Valanciunas. I think that their size and skill might be the difference. And obviously, there's John Wall, and I'll let you guys take it from there.
Well, I mean, I want to touch on what you just said there, Flip, and it kind of plays to what Ali was saying about the lineups that both coaches uses. And it's interesting because for whatever reason, Valanciunas will not see playing time when he's, you know, whether he's playing well or playing not. And
right.
It's interesting because I think that what Casey will try to do is he'll try to play a lot of Patrick Patterson, you know, try to stretch the floor, and that will result in maybe Marcin Gortat not being played as much because, I mean, he doesn't have the athleticism to stay out there with Patterson. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see how the big men are rotated. Amir Johnson is another good example of how he'll be used.
Right.
I don't know what you think, Ali.
I'm smiling because I feel like both teams are just going to adjust to this style of small ball. And really the only time the last 2 years the Wizards have even beaten the Raptors was that triple overtime game at the ACC last season. And what happened? The Raptors got killed on the pick and roll. John Wall was running it with Gortat, and the Raptors could not defend it. At the
right.
same time, you look this year, the Raptors have stretched the floor with Patrick Patterson, and the Wizards have not been able to. Nene certainly doesn't want to go run out there and try and guard Pat. So you're seeing that. You're seeing, I guess, the variance in the coaching style. And it's funny because to me, I'm just like, I don't know if any coach is going to try, either of these two guys are going to try and establish the game. I think they're just going to see how the tone is going and then adjust from there.
And Ali, let me ask you this, because another lineup issue I was kind of wondering. We kind of spoke about this before we went on air. James Johnson. Do you see him being more of a factor, or do you think Terrence Ross will finally emerge?
I see the Raptors obviously starting Terrence Ross. They have been trying to get the confidence. Masai has publicly said they need Terrence Ross. DeMar DeRozan right. yesterday in his media availability said that, yeah, Terrence Ross owned up to what happened last season, and they feel better for it. They're happy about it. They need James Johnson, though. Look, Kyle Lowry, over the extension of the 7-game series, is going to have his troubles with John Wall.
No,
everyone
no question.
Has their troubles with John Wall.
He's the best
They're
player.
They're going to need James Johnson to guard John Wall at times. They're going to need him on Paul Pierce. This is what he's here for.
Right.
He's here as your defensive stopper. It's now up to the coaching staff to let him play. The guy may not space the floor, but he can score at a high percentage inside. You have to let him expose those matchups on both ends of the court.
First off, Kyle Lowry, in my opinion, that's going to be the make-or-break matchup in the series. With a player like John Wall, he's so explosive
yeah.
and clutch as well that, you know, that could be the backbreaker there. That being said, and talking about Terrence Ross for the Raptors, that could be their X factor as well. And if he plays well, who knows, maybe that's enough to tip the scales. With all that being said, and how I mentioned about the size being a factor, you're going to need James Johnson's aggressiveness on defense to help contain a number of guys. And, you know, he wasn't with the team last year, and they got pushed around by a couple of guys on the New Jersey Nets.
Joe Johnson resurrected everything that he's ever done.
I think of Sean Livingston as well. Sean Livingston had his way with the team, with the smaller guys.
Yep.
So I think it might come down to size factor, and it's going to come down to the bench. And I'm looking at Washington's bench, and you know, guys like Drew Gooden. And
you're not scared by Kevin Serafin?
I personally like the Raptors bench better. And, you know, we've talked about X factors, and I think that's another one. Bench play is going to be huge. Who can be more clutch off the bench? And that's going to also, I think, play a huge role in
yeah.
who wins.
And the one thing that really scares me is that both these teams rely heavily on isolation offense.
Yes.
In the playoffs, when the game gets into a half-court set, we saw the Raptors struggle to find it last year. Can Lou Williams provide that spark in the half-court offense? I don't know. That one dribble left and pull up, there's going to need to be a bit of a variation on the offense there. I'm looking at the Raptors right now, and they're a team that last year relied on both ends of the court. They were a top-10 offensive team, top-10 defensive team. We've all seen how the defense has slipped. So that's the biggest concern for me heading into this series, is that the defense has slipped at a point where it's bottom five, bottom 10 in the league right now. Just can't have that. Washington still has a lot of offensive weapons. Although they do like the long twos, they have decent percentage shooters. Bradley Beal can get hot at any time. Rasul Butler, who, man, when he was on the Raptors, I don't even know if he saw the floor ever, but the guy is shooting the three at a decent clip this year. Paul Pierce, we all know the kind of daggers this guy has hit in his career against the Raptors. So defense is a huge concern. If they can play a semi-semblance of what they gave last season on defense before the last 10 games or so of the season, I think the Raptors have a good shot to win the series. Unfortunately, just the way this 82-game stretch has gone, I just don't see it. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but for that reason, I think it's going to be a close series. I just think Washington has a few more weapons that can help them pull this one out.
It's going to be close for sure.
Yeah.
For me, we bring up X-Factors, and Bradley Beal is definitely one of them. He actually led the team scoring for the Washington Wizards in the playoffs last season, so he'll be interesting to see. And we bring up John Wall. I mean, the way he's so quick and able to just penetrate into the paint, I mean, you brought it up. Rasul Butler or Bradley Beal could be at the corners and he could dish it out to
them. Otto Porter Jr., man. They got...
Hey, great point. And Lou Williams, he's definitely an X factor, and whoever else comes off the bench for the Raptors. Again, we had Jim Taddy on our show, thankfully, last episode, and he brought up the point. I mean, we know what Lou Williams is going to do once he gets out there.
Yep.
So
I'm Gravis shaking right now in the booth, the Gravis swagger shake, because I think Gravis is going to need to be huge, too, in this series.
I agree.
He will be, for sure. And, you know, I will stop using the X-Factor term, but that's a very key player for the Raptors off the bench again. And I just think that as much as the team is saying the right things going into the playoffs and, you know, they hit their losing streak before the playoffs, which in my opinion is... I always worry about teams peaking too early. You hear it a lot, you know, guys, teams, you know, peaking maybe a month too soon or, you know, giving it their all kind of and coming up a bit short. I think that might be a plus. You know, you can say, well, how is losing a plus? Losing before the playoffs maybe brings the team together a little bit. They're saying all the right things. By the way, I want to shout out Open Gym. That show is amazing. I love watching that show. And if you're not watching it and you're a Raptors fan, you need to get on that. But I wanted to also mention the team overall and looking forward. If you want to get past this Washington team, we've talked about it. But what worries me is they got to come together as a team and fast, because Washington is one thing, but you look at the rest of the teams in the East, they've become so good down the stretch. And we're worried about Washington. What about Cleveland? What about Chicago? Atlanta. What about Atlanta?
Well, this is the thing. Paul Pierce says no one in the East scares him. I'm looking at the East, and I'm like, Chicago's a very legitimate threat still when everything's going right.
Finally
Cleveland has been unconscious.
And I know I'm looking forward a bit, and, you know, we're getting past ourselves a bit. You know, it's not even the first round hasn't even started. We're talking about the second round. But in terms of this Toronto Raptors team being clutch and coming together, it needs to happen fast because the road ahead is a difficult one.
So, Flip, what do you think, or how do you think this series shapes out?
Toronto-Washington?
Yes.
I think Toronto wins game one. Washington wins game two and three.
Mm. You're going all full prediction here.
It's going to go back and forth till game seven. Raptors win in game seven.
Well, you have me in suspense with those pauses.
Flip just made a movie.
And you can check it out on YouTube later.
For me, I think I'm going to say... I think each team wins their home games, and I think that results in Raptors in seven.
All right, I'm gonna just say this: the Raptors had over the last 2 years, they've won the most road games. So in the East, they have 22 road wins. I want to say each season. So they're a team that can win on the road. We saw them do it in the game against Brooklyn last year. They ended up winning one game on the road. So I don't know necessarily if it's gonna be a decent home road split. The averages, law of averages, say about 75% of series are won after game one. If you can win game one and establish the tone, you can win the series. And that's where I think the Raptors lacked last season. I personally, my heart as a guy that has grown up in the city and has seen the struggles of all the different eras.
I think we need to point out he is wearing a Raptors jersey.
I am. Right? I'm wearing a Kyle Lowry jersey. So, I mean, I do represent
the city. It's one of the nasty purple ones, and it's a really good look.
Yeah, it is a really good look. And as much as, look, I'm a media member, I'm objective, I still grew up around the Raptors. I still have a bit of a soft spot.
Everyone in this
room
wants the Raptors to win.
Of course.
You know what? Like, I, as much as, like you said, you know, we're becoming journalists, I want to see this Raptors team win for the city most of all.
Oh, yeah.
They're needing a winner here in Toronto so bad. And I just want to see something positive come out for the city. Like, I want to be able to go and watch a team that competes and actually cares because they have Toronto on their chest.
And shout out the fans. Jurassic Park is going to be bumping no matter what.
It's
going to
be bumping. Toronto fans are loyal. We know that. And Raptors fans are awesome. We've talked about it before. That barn is rocking, and it's going to be rocking.
Yeah,
and I don't think Washington's building. Paul Pierce has even, Garnett's come out and said they haven't seen crowds like that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I know jacks these guys up. And I'm excited to see. I can't wait for Saturday. 12:30 is going to be a treat to wake up to. And I just can't wait for the playoffs to kick off.
Yeah, and just a reminder, if you're going to the square, get there by 9:30.
Get there early and get there rowdy.
But just to finish here with my prediction, my heart wants the Raptors to win, and I think they have the chance to pull this out in seven. Personally, just looking at the way Washington played in the playoffs last year against Chicago, I think they're likely to pull this series out. However, for the development of the Raptors and just the fan base in this city that's never won a seven-game series, I'm really hoping the Raptors can pull this one out.
All right, so let's move on to some of the other playoff matchups. I guess we'll just stick to the East for now. We've got Atlanta taking on Brooklyn. What are your guys' thoughts on that series?
You know, that should be pretty open and shut. Should be a 4-0 sweep, in my opinion. Brooklyn has squeaked into the playoffs, and I personally, the roster needs to be blown up, in my opinion. Yeah, you've got what's the big guy's name?
Lopez, Darren Williams,
and Joe Johnson. So there's some fading stars there, but Atlanta's been beast mode all year, and I think they're just excited to be back in the playoffs, and I think they'll steamroll Brooklyn. Personally, not to switch topics, but I look out west to the more intriguing matchups. I look up and down those lineups: Golden State, New Orleans, Portland at Memphis, LA Clippers and San Antonio and Houston and Dallas. The Texas matchup to start off, personally, that's going to be fun to watch. That's going to be a run and gun.
That could be a seven-game series.
That's going to be a run and gun series.
Yep.
Personally, if I'm picking a series to talk about and look at that I'm intrigued by, it's the Clippers and the Spurs.
Me too.
That's going like to be a great series. And the Spurs were playing well down the stretch, and they're always there. Greg Popovich and these guys, you know, you guys know them. We all know these guys.
How? Every year, man. Since, like, 1965, it just seems like
they're
in the discussion. Obviously, I'm joking, but, I mean, they're in the discussion every year.
It's the only NBA players your parents know. Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, these guys are clutch, and they'll be there again, and I think they're going to give the Clippers a run for their money, as much as that's a deep team, and, you know, the stars are there, it's evident, you know, Lob City, don't get me wrong, are going to be there, but I think San Antonio gives them a run for their money.
Now, normally when the Spurs do win, they've won off a high seed, so they've had a high seed. This year, because of the way the West is just intermingled, that's not, I don't know if that's a word either, but I'm throwing it out there.
That's a word.
They had the 2 seed until the last night of the season, and of course all the everything went down, and they went down to 6. But I still think this is a good matchup for them. I think the Clippers have a lot of flaws, especially on the defensive end. I think you can expose them. The Spurs, their offense, when it's zipping.
And who better to expose those flaws than Popovich?
Right.
He's licking his chops at that right now. He's sitting in his office laughing to himself. He's going to carve that defense up. I think the Spurs win, maybe in 6, maybe in 7. I know that's discounting a lot of talent on that Clippers team and Chris Paul. Like, shout out to Chris Paul. I love Chris Paul. But I think San Antonio has what it takes, and that West is going to be tough to come out of. Whoever comes out of it is going to be tough to beat.
They complain a lot, those Clippers. So I honestly think if they might have to tone that down a little bit, especially against a team with a championship pedigree like the Spurs.
Right.
I don't think you can argue with the refs every 5 seconds. I think you got to let the gameplay flow out.
And playoff time is time to be clutch. And, yeah, they have a guy like Jamal Crawford who's clutch. And I look at Chris Paul as a clutch player. But other than that, I don't count Jordan. His first name is
DeAndre
Jordan. Don't trust him, and I personally don't trust Blake Griffin in the clutch either. As much as he's an amazing player, dynamic in terms of his athleticism and fun to watch, I don't think he's a clutch player, and I don't think the right makeup on that team, as much as all that talent is, I think San Antonio as a core takes it.
Well, I mean, we hear it all the time. Like, Doc Rivers, he's the one who kind of puts the team together as well as coaches it, and a lot of people, Bill Simmons from ESPN, loves to say that Doc Rivers, the GM, has failed Doc Rivers, the coach. And it's a great point because, some of the roster makeups, we brought it up. They have a
Turkoglu's still on that team.
I'm telling you, I don't even know how he's still playing basketball.
Wow.
So
Let's not get into that.
Well.
We don't have another 40 minutes.
Dwayne's killing it right now. Let's not go down a dark road.
All I can say
just
to
continue
that is,
with what you're
yes,
on.
Coach.
So it's going to be interesting because they have a decent start, like one of the best starting fives in the playoffs. But after that, it's kind of suspect because Jamal Crawford, we know he's a great player. You brought it up. He's been clutch for them a lot, but he's coming off of an injury himself.
True.
Chris Paul, people have been saying he's possessed. He wants a ring so badly.
He does, and you can see it.
He deserves it. There's no question because he's an MVP candidate this year.
Always,
I mean, he probably won't win.
He's always
every
there.
Year. Yeah, he's there. Year. He's always
he's
in the
heart
discussion.
And soul guy. Heart and soul guy.
Blake Griffin's absence, I mean, he really put the team on his back and did everything he could to make sure that they were seated properly.
Yep, for sure.
So, but again, coming back to the Spurs, I mean, to bring back the point you guys made about the amount of times they made the playoffs, this is their 16th straight 50-win season. That's more than some teams in the league. The
Raptors don't have one.
Who's that with that record?
The Spurs, 16 straight.
I know, it's unreal.
Seasons.
The Spurs just keep blowing me away. And it's unbelievable. You know, we could continue to talk about the Spurs because they're just always there. And the bench is deep. Popovich keeps coming up with these guys, like making stars out of guys that aren't stars like Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, he's a bona fide star.
Now he's a star. And that's all comes because of Popovich's tutelage, in my opinion. He was nobody before. Went to the Spurs. Went under his wing, and now he's a Finals MVP.
Yep, from last year. And
so,
honestly, he's. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they have Hall of Famers on the team, and a few. Tony Parker, Tim Duncan,
Ginobili too, probably.
But Kawhi Leonard, he is the engine that runs that ship. He is the best player on that team. And for me, I mean, if we're just to say who we're picking for that series, I personally, I hear what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. It'll be an exciting matchup.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I think Greg Popovich outcoaches Doc Rivers.
Me too.
And I just feel that the roster for the Spurs is just so much stronger. So I actually think it's either a 4 or 5 game series for me.
One quick thing before I think we should wrap it up, but Doc Rivers I think also deserves some credit. I love Doc Rivers as a coach, and you know that's a good point of the GM Doc Rivers failing the GM the coach Doc Rivers. It's an interesting point. There is a lot of talent on that team, and maybe it's too much ego. Maybe there's too much talent for him to deal with as a coach. You know. Maybe that's not really a valid point, but we'll see. I think he is worth mentioning and should have some credit, but I want to put you guys on the spot. Your two teams from the East, your two teams from the West for your East Final.
Honestly,
and your West Final.
I'm just going to go quick series predictions here. I'm just going to go down the list.
Let's hear
I have the Hawks defeating the Nets in round one in 4 or 5 games. I don't think that. While it would be nice for the Raptors to beat the Wiz, the Nets to beat the Hawks, and those two teams to meet up, I just don't see it happening.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I have the Cavs. Look, Celtics are really pesky. I have the Cavs wiping them out, too. Five games or so.
Okay.
I think they could get one. They're a pesky
team. They might get one. They might get one at home.
Good coach,
they're not going to win in Cleveland.
Yeah. I think the Bulls will knock out the Bucks, no problem.
Yeah. That could even be 4 or 5 as well.
Yeah. The Raps Wizards, we talked about it. The most intriguing series there in the East.
That's going to be the tightest one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look out West, I think, look, we talked about the Pelicans.
So we're pretty
season.
Much in a perfect agreement for the East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. We have everything going out down there.
Okay, so let's start with Golden State, then New Orleans. That's pretty open and shut.
I don't know. Anthony Davis.
Yeah, we've talked about Davis. That's,
I mean, I've said it on record.
I
think he's the best player in the league.
And I agree. I agree with you. And that's why, you know, okay, I'll give that one player credit, and they have the momentum coming in. But Golden State, you guys have been crushing over Curry. Yeah. I think he deserves the MVP, and I think they have to be the favorites going into this.
Oh, no question, they're the favorites.
Playoffs.
I just feel I don't know. I mean, Bogut's going to get some time on him. Maybe they throw Spades. I don't, but I just don't know who on Golden State matches up with Anthony. I mean, there's not many people.
He's going to get his.
Are you saying there's an upset in the making, Dwayne?
I don't think.
Could you please clarify what you're saying?
I'm going to say
you're kind of tiptoeing around it here.
I'm going to say Golden State in 6. I think Anthony Davis can steal 2 games.
Wow. I think that's a bit of a bold prediction. I like it because Davis can steal a game, maybe one.
Okay.
I think he's not guarding Curry. He's not guarding Klay Thompson, and that's where I'd be worried, is in those two guys. And yeah, like AK said, Davis is going to get his. No one's going to be able to touch him, but even if he scores 30 a game, 35, that's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
Personally, anyway, I don't think it's going to be enough.
No, I agree with you, Flip. And you, Curry and Thompson could drop 80 on you together any game of the series. The Pelicans, look, they're a good team. They have Tyreke Evans. They have Drew Holiday.
Coming
they have
back.
Anthony Davis.
That's right.
So they definitely have a good team. I see the Warriors winning that series in 5 games.
And moving on, I guess, then, to I agree with that. But to move on, Portland and Memphis, the 4th and 5th seed. Tight matchup, I think.
Another good 4-5
yeah.
matchup.
Oh, really?
Really
okay.
Good matchup.
I think
okay,
I got Memphis in 5.
Wow, Memphis in 5.
I don't think that. I just Portland, to me, I just don't see it.
Honestly, I'm a huge LaMarcus Aldridge fan. Damian Lillard is amazing, and I see that 7 games, and I see Portland in 7.
I think I see Memphis pulling that out. Wow. I've really struggled with that series because I think, look, the Portland Trailblazers I'm struggling with
spit
it right
it
now.
Out. Spit it out. He's excited.
The Portland Trailblazers, once they lost Wesley Matthews, to me that was a huge turning point. Aaron Aflalo hasn't given them.
Yeah, he's been a dud.
Yeah, he's not necessarily been what you expected.
Underperformed.
Yeah, he's underperformed, and I still think that eventually that combo of Gasol and Randolph will wear down Aldridge. So I have them.
Okay, exactly. so you guys have Memphis. I'll take Portland. That's fair. We got 2 more series to touch on quickly here as we wrap up. You know, we've talked about the Clippers Spurs series. I think Dwayne and I are in the same boat. I think the Spurs can pull it out.
I have the Spurs actually quite handily.
Spurs?
I think they're going to take
it
in 5.
Okay. Yeah, Spurs in 5.
I
see too many flaws.
4 or 5.
I'm going to say 6. I'm going to say 4-2 for the Spurs. But, you know, anything can happen, and who knows? Maybe we've talked about the Raptors needing to come together. I see the Clippers as in the exact same position. If they come together and figure it out how to play as a team, who knows? Sky's the limit for a team with that much talent.
Yeah, yeah, no,
especially
right.
with
Not
Chris
wrong.
Paul as the general.
I don't know. I just can't doubt Greg Popovich.
Yeah. I know. I'm playing devil's advocate for
no,
a second.
I'm
on the San Antonio Spurs, trust me, and I want to see that team win. So
right.
And lastly here, the Battle of Texas.
Chandler Parsons old versus Chandler Parsons new team.
Interesting. Shout out top season. Top season. So we got, you know, MVP candidate James Harden killing it this season. Is that going to be enough? Or does Dallas, you know, pull off the upset here?
It's interesting because Houston comes in as the 2 seed, and they had a fantastic season. I personally think James Harden deserves the MVP this season.
That's
I'm
fair.
With you there, buddy.
Wow.
And
I'll take Steph Curry, and we're on the record there.
I love Steph Curry. I'm a shooter, so I mean, Steph Curry's, but
Steph
I just think
Curry
what
with
they
the
did
pop,
with that
boy.
Talent. But that's a discussion for another day, but
right.
We look at the series, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Just coming back to the series, and I feel like Dallas, I guess back when Dwayne Casey was on Dallas, they found a way to neutralize LeBron James. They found a way to, because they knew that the offense was primarily run through him when he was with the Miami
right.
Heat, I should mention.
Yep.
And that's almost the same case with Houston. I feel as though if they can find a way to neutralize James Harden, make it hard for him to get to the paint, things like that, and that might be tough because Dallas hasn't been great defensively this season, but that might be their only shot. But in the end, oh boy.
Dwayne sweating here in the booth.
You know what?
Sweating in the 6.
Sweating.
I'm gonna sweat from the 6.
I'm going to say 7 games, and I'm going to give it to Dallas.
Oh, wow. 7-2 right
this
there.
This is some interesting predictions. I'm going to have to re-listen to this episode. We'll write some of these down. There might be some wagers in the future here.
Recent wagers. We'll get all our
It's
going to
be the
guests.
the new segment, Bets from the 6.
Bets from the 6. Flip, who do you have winning quick, Rockets and Mavs?
I gotta take Rockets.
Yeah, I'm going Rockets in 7. I think it's going to be a good series. I think they've had a good season. They have very good chemistry on that Rockets team, and there's just something about that Dallas team.
Since
that I'm
Dwayne's
not sold
being
on.
Bold, I'm gonna say Houston in 5 just for fun.
Houston in 5. Why?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It could happen, and watch it happen. Bang, bang, bang.
Guys, I want to say we're done the season, man. We're done the semester. Great, absolute great semester of Sports from the 6. Shout out to everyone.
Yeah, much love, everyone. Thank you, everyone who listens and takes our emails and my tweets and all my constant Facebook posts and berating of everyone. I really appreciate it. We all appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And just thank you so much.
Yeah, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. A special thank you as well to the Disability Network we've been put on now.
Much love.
On that network. So we really appreciate that. Centennial On Demand, of course. Big shout out to everyone there and for everyone that follows us on Facebook and Twitter.
And
thank you very much.
And thanks to Stacey.
Much love
for
to
the
Stacey.
Yeah.
Behind the
music.
Scenes.
Yep.
And
Jessica, who filled in that one day
absolutely,
as well. Big
yes.
love to
everyone. And everyone else
100%.
Who helps us out. We're
supports
very much appreciative.
All
thank you all.
Yep.
And please continue to listen and tune in.
We'll be back soon, guys.
On behalf of Flip, Stacey, Dwayne, and myself, signing out.